Our Bible reading this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
I'd like to invite the kids up to the front, please. Please come on up. Now, good morning. Wonderful to see you. We have this tree in our backyard, which my wife doesn't really like, hence why some of it is here. Which I actually don't mind it, but maybe that's just me. Just as a heads up, this is not part of the beautiful Mother's Day decorations that you see all around you. If you saw that scraggly plant in the corner going, what's going on? No, that was my fault. That's definitely not the team who put it together. Looks lovely here. Thanks, Owen. Yeah, if you grab that one. All right, excellent. So, Jesus uses an illustration. Thank you. we're not doing Jonah, but that way. Jesus uses an illustration when he's talking about himself, and he calls himself something in today's passage. Did you catch what it was? He said, I am the vine. Good. Yeah, very good. And we are the branches. Very good. That's right. And so what happens if you take a branch off of a vine? What happens to the branch? It dies. Exactly. Exhibit A. I cut this one off a while ago. And it's died and yeah, perished. What do you think I might do with this? Use that wood. Yeah, use it as wood. What might I do with that wood? Yeah, make it like that. Yeah, it looks like a kind of cool slingshot. But yeah, I'll probably burn it. That's probably what I'll do. Not right now. Once the city of Kalamunda lets me, I'll burn it and that'll be good. Because that's all it's good for, isn't it? I mean, because it's no longer connected to the vine, it loses its life. Now, this one was connected to the vine this morning. So just for argument's sake, imagine it still is. What do you notice about this one? Yeah, that's great. It's still alive and the leaves are still there. Yeah. So you can see life. You can see signs of life. Whereas in the other one, you can't see those signs of life. What makes the difference? Why is that one dead and this one alive?
Because this one wasn't cut that long ago.
Yeah, that's right. Because this one wasn't cut that long ago. Yeah, so it was connected to the vine. That's right. Yes, Levi.
And it's also green.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's also greener. And I really appreciate that because Josh and I couldn't tell you. Yeah, thought it was red. But no, you're right. You're right, Levi. It's green. And so it's showing signs of life, isn't it? And that Jesus is saying that it's the same for us with him. When we're disconnected from Jesus, the one who is life, who brings life, we're going to be like this, aren't we? Because we're disconnected from the one who is life. That ends in death. But when we stay connected to Jesus, who is life, we have life in him. And that's what he's teaching us. That's what all this abide in me is all about. Abide is a big word. Do you use the word abide much? I don't use it enough. And Jesus is teaching us to live in him, to stay connected to him, and to let him and his love flow through us. Because trees also... not particularly this one, but they also bear fruit, don't they? And that fruit comes from Jesus, for the trees, but also for us too. So let's pray together and then it'll be time to head out to Kids Church. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent the Lord Jesus, who is the true vine. Thank you that, Lord Jesus, we have life in you. So we come to you, Lord. We ask for your mercy and grace. We abide in you. And we ask that we would bear fruit by staying connected to you. Thank you, Lord, that there is this hope that for all who abide in you, we won't end up in death and perishing, but we will have life and thrive. And so we thank you for that. We pray for that for all of us. And we pray your mercy upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, time to head out to Kids Church. Wonderful to see you. My name's Jared. I'm the pastor here. Wonderful to have you with us. We're going to continue on that theme. Been thinking about the vine and the branches. Will you pray with me before we begin? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather this morning and open your word and that we can hear you speak to us. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would minister to us and speak to us, that you would work in our hearts a greater understanding of what it means for you, Lord Jesus, to be the vine, for your Father to be the vine dresser, and for us to be branches. And we pray that we would live in you, that we would present our requests to you, and that we would love you and let that love flow through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've just spoken about with the kids, obviously branches that are connected to plants live and thrive. Whereas ones that are cut off, that are disconnected, perish and die. And then there's other interesting things that plants do as well, like this particular plant that I was just showing you. I cut it right back, like, you know, the axe is laid at the root of the tree kind of style. And the thing just keeps growing back. It will not stop. And I think that that's really helpful to understand the pruning aspect as well, which we'll talk about a bit later. But Jesus is using this beautiful illustration of him being the vine, and he's that source of life, that source of love, and he speaks of his Father as the vine dresser, the one who cultivates the vine. So he cuts off bits that are not to be part of it, and he also, so you know, whether that's removing branches that are not going to be part of it, or whether that's pruning as well, he does that as well. So Jesus is using this beautiful illustration. And to sum it up, if we're disconnected from the one who is the source of all life, we will find ourselves dead and perishing. That's where that ends up. But if we are connected to Jesus, we will live and thrive. And that's true even when we feel sad or down or going through difficult times. If you're connected to Jesus, you have everything you need for living a thriving life of love in him. Who likes going to those sort of trinkety shops and buying mugs and tea towels and all sorts of things? How many people? We've got a few of them. All right, cool.
How many people you may have come across the saying "live, laugh, love"? How many people have a, you know, maybe you've got a "live, laugh, love" mug or a tea towel, or you've seen it around? Well, today, to help us remember this, we're going to be doing "live, ask, love." So not "live, laugh, love," but "live, ask, love." Live in Christ, ask in Christ. So ask in Jesus' name, love with the love that Christ has loved us with. So live, ask, love. Hopefully you remember that. So let's begin with living. So first, we've just mentioned as well about that disconnection from Christ. It's when people are disconnected from Jesus, who is life. He's the one who gives all life. To be disconnected from him is to be dead and perishing. If you understand the logic of, if Jesus is the one who gives all life, he's the source of all thriving, all joy, all peace and everything, to be outside of him or disconnected from him means to be dead, to be perishing. But to be joined to him means to be connected to the one who is the source of all life, all joy, all peace, all goodness. And so there's this beautiful illustration Jesus is using about the connection that we have to him. Isn't that a marvelous thing? The way that he describes it is as though he is the vine and we're these branches that are sort of connected to him, shooting off from him, but remaining in him. And that's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And life works like that. We can observe that in our world, can't we? You can see that with the plants in your garden and in the various other places. If you cut something off, if it's not connected to the actual vine, it's going to die. But if it remains connected, even if it looks kind of weird and wonderful, it stays alive. And it's that life that flows through, that life that comes from Christ to us. And it's the root of Christ and his love that leads to the fruit of life lived in connection to him. So Jesus, he's the one who is the source of that life. He is the root. We can't have alternative roots to Jesus in order to bear fruit and have life and love. It all comes from him. And it's really important that we don't mix up the root and the fruit. So what I mean by that is sometimes we might think, well, you know, a life lived for Christ, that looks like all of these things, you know, reading your Bible, praying and all of that. So that's how I know that I'm saved. As long as I read my Bible enough, pray enough and go to church enough, I'm sweet. No, that's to get it mixed up, isn't it? It's to look at the fruit and say, that's my root. And that's to get it all muddled up. We need to be connected to Christ. We need to be rooted and grounded in him in order to bear that fruit. The fruit's not going to come from us chasing the fruit. The fruit's going to come from us abiding in the one who is the vine, who is the root. And so Jesus teaches us to abide in him, to abide in his love. If you listen in verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So it's that bearing fruit coming from abiding in Jesus, not getting focused only on the fruit, but wanting the fruit as a result of being connected to Jesus. Because if we don't remember that, we could get proud, couldn't we? We could think, well, look, I've borne all this fruit. But the only reason we can bear that fruit is because we're connected to Jesus. Or we could despair and go, oh, I mean, I can't bear any fruit, and feel like, well, what am I going to do? And so the answer is to stay rooted and grounded in Christ, and then to bear fruit and show ourselves to be true disciples. I want to talk just a moment about pruning. Jesus says in the first couple of verses, he says, "I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser." Remember, the one who cultivates the vine. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Now, that can sound kind of confronting, can't it? Because there's sort of the two things there. There's those who are not bearing fruit, being taken away, And then there's also the pruning that's happening. So that those not bearing fruit, those who are disconnected from Christ will be removed and judged. But even those who are connected to Christ, there's still the scissors, the saboteurs are still coming out. And we're thinking, what's going on? Well, have you ever watched plants be pruned? It's kind of remarkable. And I feel like when I was a kid, I didn't get this at all. Like, I'd be like, how does it make sense that in order for me to make this thing grow better, I have to cut it back? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me just when I was a kid. It still stretches my mind now. It's like I remember when my wife was growing her hair longer and she was like, she wanted to get it cut, and it makes sense. Like, you know, I don't understand all the ins and outs of it, but yeah, my brother also grew his hair out once and he didn't get it cut, but it probably would have been a lot better if he did. Dad's nodding. Anyway, the point being that pruning isn't talking about when I shaved my head the other year. That's not what we're getting at. It's a cutting back in order that more fruit comes, isn't it? There's a cutting back that's not just for the purposes of cutting back, but it's a cutting back in order to be released to thrive even more. That's what's happening when God the Father prunes us. And I think it's helpful for us to realize that we ought not to be surprised that when we're staying close to Christ, he's cutting off bits of us that are not of him. He's shaping and fashioning us into the image of Christ. And so, yeah, don't be surprised if God takes something off your plate so that you can bear more fruit for Christ. Don't be surprised if God changes the desires of your heart so that you can bear more fruit for Christ. Don't be dismayed if things, if you don't like change, which many of us don't like change, but God continues that change of making you more like the one in whom you have life. Because that's the whole point. By his Spirit, he's making us more like Christ every single day. That's the work that he's doing. And it's this privilege we have of a daily life walked with Christ. You have people all around you right now. We have people in our lives. We walk through in our lives. We talk to people. We walk with people. We spend time with people. Jesus is one of those people who's here to spend time with us by his Spirit. And he's the ultimate person to spend time with and to daily walk our lives with. So walk with him. Talk with him. Let's have an ever-increasing awareness and thankfulness for his presence with us. To think that the one who is the source of all life has come to make his home in our hearts and to give us true joy, to give us true peace, to make our joy complete, as he says. He's the one who will enable us to get through whatever difficulties we face in life. Not because those difficulties are magically disappearing because we're connected to the vine, but because he's there with us. That we aren't lost in death. That we aren't lost in our ways of disconnection to Christ, but we are rooted and grounded in him. And thereby can bear fruit for him, fruit and joy and thankfulness. And so let's remember that Jesus is present with us. How many of us go through difficult times? All of us. You know, even Mother's Day today may be a difficult day for some or many of us. You know, if you've lost your mom or any sorts of things, and our heart goes out to you, it can be a difficult day. But Jesus is there with us through it all, isn't he? He understands what it's like to live this life and go through hardships and trials. And he comes to us where we're at. He comes, he dies for us. He rises again. He ascends and he sent his Spirit who now lives in us. He lives in us. He is with us. And he's speaking to us by his word, by his Spirit. So let us abide in Christ. Let's stay close to him. And as you think about this, what does it look like in my life to stay close to Christ? What does it look like to get up today? You know, so you go Sunday, you're like, yep, went to church, cool. Then next day, Monday. What is it going to look like tomorrow for us to live in Christ, to walk closely with him? Well, I think part of it is just an awareness of his presence with us. Sometimes we can go through life and just get caught up in stuff and forget that actually we're taking each step by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. We can forget that his Holy Spirit is living in our hearts, and we can go and try and motor off and do our own thing. Bless you, Darren. We can, and everyone. Darren sneezed. We can try and go and do our own thing, can't we? We can try and chase the fruit, can't we? We can try and pursue fruit thinking that that's the root and get it all muddled up and think, well, if I can just do enough things, then I will have life in Christ. No. It's come to Christ, stay connected to Christ. It's live in him. He's our source of life. Let's not go looking for counterfeit sources. Let's not distract ourselves to death. Let's not lead ourselves astray or down the garden path. Let's stay connected to the vine. Abide in him. Which, that's live. The second point we have is ask. The more we live in Christ, the more that we are attuned to the word of Christ. So that day by day, daily rhythms of living with Jesus, walking through this life with him, talking to him, getting to know him more, hearing from him as he speaks to us. The more that we are walking closely with him, the more we're attuned to his word. The more that we let his word dwell in us richly, as the scripture calls us to, the more we are aligned with the divine will of Christ, and therefore the will of the Father. You see, this is Jesus has, you know, two wills, human and divine, because he became human. But we see him submit his will, his human will, to his Father's will in Gethsemane. You know, when he's praying, about to go to the cross, not my will, but your will be done. And what a beautiful example of surrender to God, of going, yeah, I surrender. And note that when Jesus teaches us these things, he says in that verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you just take that out of context and, you know, slap that on a bumper sticker or, you know, make that your phone background or whatever, we could get the wrong idea, couldn't we? This idea that if I just ask whatever I want, then I'm going to get it. And think that then we would come to think of God as sort of like a vending machine of whatever you want. And you just come to him and he just gives it to you. And it's like, cool. And then if he's not giving it to you, there must be something wrong, but you don't really know why. That's not what Jesus is actually teaching us here. This is coming in the context of living in him. It's coming in the context of abiding in Christ. The more that we are connected and abiding in him, the more our will becomes aligned with his will. And the more our will becomes aligned with his will, when we pray and we're asking for things in Jesus' name, we're not just tacking that on to, can I please have a Lamborghini in Jesus' name? And, you know, fingers crossed, hoping, you know, maybe that's God's will. No, it's aligning our will by our lives with Christ and with his will. And the more that that happens, the more that the kinds of prayers that we pray are aligned with him. And so the more we can expect and witness, yes, fulfillment of the requests that we pray. It doesn't mean we're always going to get everything we pray for or exactly how we hoped. But it does mean that we can trust God to bountifully and abundantly bless us as we pray and to give many positive yes answers to our prayers. Not because we're worth listening to, but because he's making us more like Jesus. He's, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, because he's making your desires align with his. So when we look out at the lost world and we think, man, there are people out there who are perishing, people who don't even know they're disconnected from Jesus, and our heart yearns to see people saved, that's a yearning that's coming from God. That's a desire that he's putting in our hearts. That's a longing that he wants us to pray for and he wants to answer. And so I think this is a great encouragement to us to pray boldly, to ask in Christ, to ask in Jesus' name, not only at the end of our prayers, but in everything, submitting to him, praying your will be done, surrendering to God, asking in confidence that he will bring his will on earth as it is in heaven. He's taught us to pray like that. Let's pray like that. Let's embrace that opportunity we have, and let's look forward and expectantly to see how he will answer those prayers. So if you consider High Wycombe Church here this year, it would be awesome to see people who don't yet know Jesus get saved this year. Now, like, so that sort of feels a bit like, whoa, you know, like we can kind of just pray in the more general, and it feels a bit safer because it feels like there's no real sort of way of knowing, you know. But I think that Jesus is encouraging us to have a desire that aligns with his desire. And the Bible teaches us that God wants all people to be saved. So let's pray for that. And let's pray that he would do that this year and trust him with the results and see what happens. Wouldn't that be awesome? And also, if you think about it, if all of us are praying for that, if we're all praying for that, you know, both in our Bible studies, in our families, in our individual times with God, God is hearing us all praying that as one voice, deeply requesting what he already wants to do. And that's an awesome thing. So let's ask in Christ boldly, looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. We believe that God wants to save people. We believe that God had us plant this church to that end. And he hasn't come back yet. So let's keep praying that he would continue to do what he's called us to. Let's ask in Christ. Live in Christ. Ask in Christ. Love in Christ. The more that we abide in Christ, the more his love flows into every area of our lives. Isn't that so? I'll say that again. The more we abide in Christ, the more his love flows into every area of our lives. Have you found that? Maybe if you think about your relationships with people in your life, and you think of someone who's been walking closely with the Lord Jesus, and you think about how does that manifest itself in that relationship? And it's love, isn't it? And you think that's the hallmark. That's how we can see it. That's the evidence of this isn't just someone saying stuff. It's actually translating across to how they live, how they ask, and how they love. And we can experience that love as we talk to people. Maybe you can think of your own life, times where perhaps we've strayed from God, we've been distant from him, we've pushed him to the side and, you know, not really given much of a thought to God and just tried to do it on our own, compared to times where we've come close and we've drawn near and we've been rooted and grounded in love, and that love of Christ has been flourishing and flowing over. It's amazing, isn't it, that that love doesn't just stop. It's not like we receive that love and it stops there. No, that love flows. It doesn't stop with us. It starts with Christ and it flows and it keeps flowing because that's how he is and that's how he works. There are definitely times in our lives where we can be distracted or distant or just somewhere else. But God meets us in those times, doesn't he? He's our Lord. He's our tender Savior. He's our kind King who loves to meet us and draw us near to him. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're feeling encouraged. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe Mother's Day is a really hard day for you. Maybe it's been a rough week. I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus knows, and that Jesus loves you, and that Jesus is there for you in the midst of all of that. He can be the one to walk with you through it all. He's not far from any of us. He wants us to come to receive him, to receive his love, and then love as he's loved us. You'll notice that Jesus calls them in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And isn't that a beautiful description of the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to have? This love that isn't about me and what I can get for myself, but it's about what I can give, what I can sacrifice for others. And Jesus has loved us in the most radical, most amazing, most life-transforming possible way by the one who is God coming to this world. He walked this world, and now he continues to do so as he's present in us by his Spirit. He lived this life, and now he continues to do so as he lives in us. He loved those around him. You see him do things like wash his disciples' feet. You see him have compassion, hang out with people that other people wouldn't want to go near. And you see Jesus in his beauty, in his kindness. When I say beauty, I'm talking about his character. The Bible says that he had no majesty that we would look at him. But what I'm talking about is his character. There is something incredibly attractive about Jesus in his kindness and compassion that draws us in. And it's God who's drawing us to him by the work of his Spirit. And what is the thing that draws us to Jesus the most? It's his love. And his love that he desires to let flow through us. Because just like we spoke about with the branch and the plant and the vine and the branches can't bear fruit unless they're connected to the vine. The branches can't live unless they're connected to the vine. We can't love unless we're connected to the vine. He's the source of our life. He's the source of aligning our will with his, and he's the source of our love. I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 2. This is a beautiful passage that sums up the love of Jesus and his humility. Have a listen to this. This is Philippians 2, 1 to 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that's worth putting on a bumper sticker or making your phone background to reflect on that awesome love that Jesus has for us on display in his life, in his death, in his resurrection and his ascension. You see in Jesus the love that we're all longing for. And the amazing thing is that he longs to bring us to himself and then to let that love flow. And you'll notice that this first bit starts out with talking about having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That this mindset, this humility, this loving kindness, this willingness to take a low position is ours in Christ Jesus. Because if we're living in Christ, if we're asking in Christ and we're loving in Christ, this will shape how we love one another, how we care for one another, how we're there for one another. I didn't mean that to rhyme, but it did. and it's true. And then when you think about it, the reality is that God himself did that for us, and he's calling us to follow him in that. It's awesome. He loves you. He loves all of us, and he wants that love to flow through you. So you might think, what do I have to offer? You know, some of us maybe feel like that. Others maybe feel like I'm the hero of the team. And the gospel applies to both of those positions. But if we're feeling like, what do I have to offer? Where do I fit? What a high calling it is that Jesus is wanting his love to flow through you to those around you. Let us live in Christ, stay connected to him, daily walk with him. If you want to talk more about how to do that, I'd love to speak with you about that. Ask in Christ. Let's align our wills to him. Let's stop pursuing things selfishly and selflessly. Pray earnestly for God to bring love and light and life to our world. And finally, let's love in Christ. Let's die. Let's take the position of death for the benefit of others. Let's give up all of our own desires and things that we can let that love of Jesus flow through to all those around us. If you don't know Jesus yet, please come and talk to me afterwards. Even if you're just like, I've got so many questions, that would be awesome. If you do know Jesus, take heart. You are in him. Stay close to him. Live in him, ask in him, love in him. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the vine dresser, and Lord Jesus, that you are the vine, and Holy Spirit, that you are with us and in us, and that you live in us, Lord. We thank you that we have life in you. We pray that each day, day by day, we would walk with you, that we would be close to you, that we would stay close with you and connected with you, that we would indeed abide in you, abiding in your word, abiding in your love, being near you, enjoying being in your presence, reading your word, hearing your spirit talk to us as you give us understanding from your word. And Lord, we just thank you so much that we can live in you. We pray that our prayers would be bold prayers, asking amazing things because you are our amazing God. And so we ask, Lord, that you would save people here at High Wycombe this year. We pray that you would, by your grace, rescue lost people like we are before you intervened in our lives and bring them home to the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that we would ask in other areas of our lives, we pray for our kids, Lord, that each of them would be close to you all the days of their lives, that they would be wonderful witnesses and mighty men and women of God who bear witness to the great love of the Lord Jesus in this world. And Lord, we also pray that your love would shape and fashion us into the image of Christ, that we would greatly and gratefully receive your love, remembering the amazing sacrifice you made to bring us to you, and then also then taking and making sacrifices for others as well, Lord. That the love that you have for us that meant you took that position to save us would be the same love working in us, that which is pleasing in your sight for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.